Hi everyone, this is Renee Rentmeester, creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and the Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. Today we have someone very special as usual, but even more special. Her name is Nicole Wheatley. And she loves to cook. She found us on our Cooking Without Looking a Facebook page. And actually, you like to bake more, right, Nicole?
Yes, I like to bake more in cooking. I can do both.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, my name is Nicole Wheatley. I am a self-published author. I just published a paranormal romance novel called Hunted: The Moral's Chest, my sister Lauren. I do LARP, which is live action roleplay, and I also cosplay at Baltimore Comic Con every year. Well, except for this year.
You're right.
I love to read. I write poetry as well. And as I mentioned, I like to bake, and I also help my mom in the kitchen sometimes, making family meals.
Oh, that's great. So I was reading about you online. There was a wonderful LARPer interview. Live action performer? Is that it?
Live action role play.
Live action role play.
Yes, ma'am.
We're cooking without memory today. And I was very interested. Your condition is a very rare eye condition. Tell us a little bit about it.
So my eye disorder is called Bardet-Biedl syndrome. It's a rare genetic disorder that affects the eye by the retina deteriorating. And it's passed down only with both the mother and father carried recessive gene. And every time they have a child, there's a 25% increase of a child being born with it. And I'm the youngest of four daughters, so I had a 100% chance of having it.
Oh, gosh. Well, so your other siblings don't have it at all?
My Irish twin sister Lauren has it, but our eldest two sisters do not have it.
Ah, okay. Okay. So how did you get into the live action role playing?
So when I went to community college, there was a group that was doing Dungeons and Dragons, and they got invited to go to Philadelphia to try a event, and I decided to tag along because I was like, I like to do, you know, cosplay and tabletop playing, so why not? And
so
sorry, go ahead.
No. Sorry, sorry about that. No problem. Go for it.
And like I said, that was a really old interview. I don't play with those people anymore. I play with a new group now that's a lot more welcoming and more accommodating to my disability than the old group was.
In what way?
Well, for starters, that I actually can interact with the mods and take part in the event. The old group would make me sit in a corner and not interact because they didn't know how to interact with my disability.
Oh, wow. So you just had to sit in the corner and sort of like absorb what's going on without being able to be a part of it?
Yep, despite paying for it.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's really disheartening. Well, do you find that happens in other areas of life too, besides the special groups?
It kind of happens occasionally. I learned to be more assertive and speak up because if you don't, they'll just push you to the side a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're quiet on the side, they'll sort of just let you sit there, right?
Right.
Well, how do you strike up that conversation?
Well, it depends on the situation. Like, for example, with my schooling, I had a lot of trouble finding teachers that would be accounting for my need of hearing extra time for tests or having larger print because in my school, me and my sister were the only blind students. So a lot of teachers either didn't know what to do or thought that they could, just pass along and nothing be done about it.
Oh
So my mom had a really good idea that every time we'd all come in from school that we'd have a snack and sit down and do our homework. So I learned more doing homework with my sisters than I did actually for the schoolwork.
Oh wow. Did you have special classes you went to, or were you put in right with the other kids?
I was playing with other kids, but for me, it was kind of boring because I was supposed to be put in GT or advanced classes, but they had the stereotype that because I was blind that I should have been special ed, nothing above.
Oh, but that's something totally different than from being blind.
Right. But that stereotype, like if a person's disabled anyway, then mentally you're not intelligent.
I know I've picked up on that where people think it has something to do with how much you know, your intelligence. And there was a blind lady I used to work with who was a member of Mensa, and she was
Oh,
always fighting.
wow.
She was always fighting against that stereotype, and it's something ingrained. I think it's even beyond a stereotype. People just like it's deeply ingrained within us that, well, if you don't see, if you don't hear, there must be something cognitively wrong with you as well.
Right.
Well, so how did you get into baking? Tell us about your baking escapade.
That's a change subject. I've been baking all my life. I self-taught myself how to bake. It's interesting is that there's actually a home video of me when I've been like 5 or 6. I'm standing out of school in the kitchen making bread for a party.
Oh, how cool! You were like 5 or 6 making bread?
Yeah, like stirring. It was like a box mix, but it was still, it's like I all just like talking. There I am in on a stool baking.
What did you like do it behind your parents' back, or were they there with you?
They're there with me. They always support my love of baking and cooking as well.
Well, I saw you.
And
Oh, sorry, go
sorry,
on.
go ahead.
No,
You can
go
do
for it.
it.
Well, I saw in the article where it said something that your parents were very supportive of you and wanted you to live as quote unquote a normal of life as possible.
Yeah, my parents and my older sisters, they always were against the idea that, I'm blind or visually impaired, that I can still live normal life, I just have to live it in a more unique way.
Right, exactly. And you just have you do different things, you do things differently, but that doesn't make it more difficult because that's the way you've never known anything else, right?
Right. And like I said, I had experiences as a small person. I was taught how to drive. I terrified my older sister, Jessica.
Oh no.
I traveled all over the world, so it's
Oh,
not even as fun when I have school vision.
tell us about your
Yeah.
travels. Where have you gone?
So I've been to 15 different places, 13 in the US and 2 international. I've been to Ontario, Canada, and London, England.
Ah, and what were some of the things you learned there about the people, the way they treat people with disabilities over in those two places? What are some of the differences? What are the similarities?
Well, in Canada, it was interesting taking the Greyhound bus. So it was a 15-hour bus ride to and from.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
But the The bus drivers were really nice and accommodating and made sure that we got to all our, like, transfers on time.
Oh, that's really nice.
And London, they treat you a lot differently, but in a good way. Like, I would recommend anyone that's really prepared to go to London to visit us.
Just take off, get on that plane, and go to London. How did they treat you differently?
It was just, like, the fact that if they saw you had a cane, they were more accommodating, and they were more hands-on explaining areas around you. On our first day there, we were looking for a ATM to transfer U.S. currency to pounds.
Right.
And we came across a man with a fruit cart that he's selling fruit to customers. And hearing that me and my sister were a little bit lost and trying to find it, he left his cart and gave a side eye to the ATM and helped us use the ATM.
Oh, wow. How nice is that?
Yeah. Wow. You're like, that would never happen in the States.
They would get you to the ATM and take your money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's very nice. And like, what about the governmental rules? Did you come across anything like that?
So we went to different places, different landmarks in the UK, like London, like the Modern Museum of Art, the Globe Theater, and we also went to the Tower of London. And the Tower of London, they have one tower known as the Royal Jewels. And it's where they keep all the jewels and crowns used for the monarchs, for coronation or personal events.
Right.
And when you go in, all the jewelry is behind a display case with these little signs. And me and Lauren got a little too close to the display case for the guard's comfort.
Oh, no.
So they called out, and when we turned around and saw our chains, and that's when they realized we weren't up to no good. We were just trying to figure out what was on the display case.
Right, right. How much sight do you have left?
I have a little bit of sight. I have a little more than my sister, so I can see things up close with a little bit of lighting, but other than that, I really can't see much.
Right, right.
So when a guard called a cane and said he was mad, they gave us a personal tour.
Wow!
And at the end, we actually got to touch one of the crowns. More than Queen Elizabeth.
Oh my gosh, how nice.
Yeah,
because you guys are probably leaning in really closely to the jewels to see them.
Well, leaning closely, using a camera, trying to enlarge the sign.
and at least they knew you were up, you were not up to no good. You were actually just trying to enjoy the scenery.
Yeah.
The jewels. Oh my gosh. Well, what other kind of travel things? Because oftentimes people don't really understand that a person, you know, visually impaired or blind person can truly enjoy travel and you know, sightseeing.
Yes. It depends on where you're heading. So I've been on every type of travel transportation there is. I've been on Amtrak, I've been on Greyhound, I've flown. I took the subway once, my aunt. So you just have to be, like, careful, and you have to plan out how you're traveling in advance. You can't just do a spur of the moment.
Right. Do you use any of the technology, like the Be My Eyes or anything, when you get around the airports?
The last few months, I just recently learned about these devices, so I've been using Aira.
Okay. Yes.
But a lot of times what I'll do is I'll call in advance and I'll set up having your red tap or assistant meet me and walk me through the station or airport to my destination.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's a little easier for you too, isn't it?
Yes. And then sometimes I'll have a family member or a friend meet me when I get off. That way I know there's someone there I actually know, so a stranger.
Right, right. That would be a little creepy, you know. It's even with sight, that just is a little off-putting. Let me see if I can have this stranger walk me around.
Right.
Well, your the cooking without looking recipe of the day today, and it's a simple pumpkin pie. Can you go through your procedure for the pie as we get ready for Thanksgiving in a month or so?
Sure. So this is a pie I make for every holiday, for your Thanksgiving or Christmas, and it's a recipe that I found on the back of a pumpkin puree can that I altered. And what I do is, the first thing I do is I get out all my ingredients and prep it, made it a little easier for baking it. And
that's a good idea.
Well, I noticed that when you watch a lot of cooking shows or baking shows, it's like, hey, here's all ingredients, and now it's just different steps.
let's play scavenger hunt as we bake our pie.
Yeah. I feel like the only, like, hard or tricky part is putting the pie in the oven, because the pumpkin mixture is so liquid, it's easy to spill.
Right. So how do you get over that?
I learned the best trick to do is to, one, put a cookie sheet underneath the pie. Less chance if it's spilling in the oven. And then, because my oven is on the ground, it's easier to fill it 3/4 of the way, put it on the wire rack, and fill the last 12 inches, then put it in.
Ah.
And then if by chance I do spill some of it, I tape a napkin and wipe the crust edge really quick to make sure that there's no burnt white babes.
Right, because that liquid would burn extra fast being on there.
Oh yeah, and then when you pull it out, you'd be like, why is the crust black? Oh, right.
just a little bit of that liquid on there, the old liquid pumpkin.
Yeah. Well, I made the recipe a lot enough to, like, know all these traps. The first time I made it was a hot mess.
What was a hot mess about it? That's what people are always worried about, you know, making a mistake or making a mess. What happened with you? It happens to all of us. Doesn't matter if we have sight or not. It happens to all of us.
I thought it'd be smart to fill it all the way and put it in the oven. So half of it spilled out and it still has a smoke detector.
Oh. So you spilled some of it?
I spilled half most of it in the oven.
Oh no.
I didn't realize how gentle we had to be with it.
Who got to clean it up?
My dad.
I bet that made him real happy.
No. He's a sport about it. A lot of times I make messes or mistakes in my baking, he doesn't mind helping me clean it up.
Oh, that's really nice. That's very nice. So what are some of your other tips with the crust, etc., for your pie?
So I usually use a already pre-made pie crust. I haven't yet figured out how to make one from scratch. And it helps if you pre-spray the pan you're going to use it in. That way, when you take it out to serve, it doesn't stick as badly.
Oh. I never thought
and
about
that. You never thought that before? And when you put the crust in, it helps to use your fingers to run over all the crust, make sure it's smooth, because if there's any bumps or ridges out of place, it will have a effect on the pie.
Ah. That's like a really good tip. I've never heard of that. I've never even thought about it, but that makes a lot of sense, because a lot of times that pie crust just sticks to the bottom of the Pie pan. Yep, been there, done that.
And then before I put the mixture in, I did aid wash, and I use a pastry brush, but Lauren's vision will left in line, so what she'll do is she'll dip her hand in aid mixture and run that all over the dough. Otherwise, she won't know if she got it or not.
Ah, yes.
And it's a little messier, but you want to make sure you have it covered, otherwise, why his tail?
Well, do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners out there about, you know, the vision impairment and blindness?
I think just be more open to the community, that don't make assumptions just because someone's blind or vision impaired or has any type of disability that they can't do something. And don't do it for them in advance, ask they need help, because you could be surprised on what they can and can't do on their own. For example, I got into baking because for my teachers on a semester for college, I wanted to share my appreciation, so I started making canned school cookies for them.
Oh, how nice!
And it was through that I realized how much I love to bake and how much I enjoy seeing people's reactions to receiving them.
Oh, that's really sweet. That's very nice. Yeah, you know, that's something that people don't really bring up. But actually, that's a good percentage of why we either bake or cook, is just to make someone enjoy something and see their face after they eat it, right?
Right, that's exactly the point.
Yeah, that's so nice. I know I'm like that too. Like, I'm more of a cook than a baker, and because I don't like to follow instructions, I just like to make it as I go.
You sound like my mom.
I think that's the personality difference between bakers and cooks. You know, the bakers are very fastidious. My mom, my God, she would go back to her recipe, you know. Yeah, it's because it's so chemical. But me, I don't have the patience to be that chemical with it, you know, that fastidious. It's like, okay, let me throw this in. That sounds good. This feels good to throw this in. But then when you see the people, you see their faces after they've eaten whatever it was you've made, it just gives you so much joy inside.
Right. Yeah, that's like my mom. Like, you ask my mom for any of her recipes, she's like, oh, just eyeball it. It's like,
exactly. Well, telling you just to eyeball it is sort of like, your mom's got a great sense of humor, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, Nicole. And I just want, if people want to reach out to you and speak with you, how do they contact you?
Well, I do have a Facebook page with my name, Nicole Wheatley. And then I'm also on Instagram under my pen name for writing, which is Lynn S. Frost. And I also have a Twitter with the same name. And with my sister Lauren, we also have a Patreon and podcast called Fire and Ice as well.
Called Fire and Ice?
Yes.
Oh, how cool. I used to go to a club in Miami that was called Fire and Ice. So it was a while back, years ago. But yeah, that's pretty cool. What do you talk about on your podcast?
So on our podcast, we talk about different types of media that we enjoy. For example, the last two we talked about was traveling with being a blind or visually impaired person, and cartoons that we watched growing up while video games.
Oh, well, that sounds like fun. That sounds wonderful. Okay, well, again, thank you, Nicole Wheatley, for being with us today. You are our Cooking Without Looking recipe of the day, and so people can go see that and they can listen to you on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Podbean. This has been Renee Rentmeister. What? Yes.
I forgot to mention that I also have a YouTube channel called The Blind Mage.
Oh, yes, I saw that. I saw the blind mage. What is a mage? I'm sorry, I'm not into all of that. What is mage?
It's fine. So a mage is a generic term for someone that's into magic, but they haven't picked the actual path of magic. So like, they don't know if they're a Wicca or a Druid or a Paiden, but they want to study magic.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, again, thank you, Nicole. This has been Renee Rentmeester, creator, executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. If you want to go to our page, it's a www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. If you want to hear more of these wonderful shows, you can go to our webpage and the right at the top it says donate, and you can donate or sponsor our shows if you want. To reach out to me directly, it's 305-200-9104. And thank you again, Nicole. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we enjoyed it. Bye bye.
Bye.